You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Kurt Owen, and welcome to Victory is Assured. We're going to depart from our regular programming today. We've been talking about how to hear from God, and you can go to our website and hear everything if you've missed that. But today is such a special day because we're celebrating the foundation of our nation. And I've traveled all over the world. I've been to 32 nations, and it is my opinion that this truly is the greatest nation on the face of the earth, not just in our history, but in our present as well. And there's a reason for that. And so I've asked Tim Barton of Wall Builders to join me and talk, because recently I had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. to one of Wall Builders' pastoral briefings. And I strongly encourage you ministers to get involved in that and get involved in this ministry. But I was able to take a tour of the Capitol and have the Christian heritage of our nation explained, and really explain to me who our founding fathers truly were, not just what we're hearing about them today. But then we also got to meet with some of our congressional leaders and hear from their heart and their faith and what they were dealing with in the Capitol. And so, Tim, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Now, Tim, there's a lot of talk about building walls today, but you all were building walls long before President Trump came along. Can you explain to us what Wall Builders is about and how the name of your ministry?
Absolutely, and thank you for asking. Yes, this is not a foundation to fund the Southern Wall. That's not exactly what we're doing. The name, actually, we started back in 1988, and the idea actually originated from the Bible story, the book of Nehemiah, where, if you remember, Nehemiah was taken into captivity. This is part of the Babylonian captivity, and he's a cupbearer to the king, but his heart is so grieved because his nation has been destroyed, and he looked back and saw the walls of the city of Jerusalem had been torn down, and so he just felt compelled. He wanted to go back and rebuild his nation, restore Jerusalem.
Right.
And so he goes back and he invites people to come live in Jerusalem and says, just everybody come, start rebuilding what you can where you live. And people made fun of him. They said it's never going to happen. There was opposition. They said this is an impossible task. You can't rebuild Jerusalem. You can't rebuild your nation. But in 52 days, what people said was impossible, he completed this impossible task of rebuilding Jerusalem. And back in 1988, my dad is the one who started our organization, David Barton. And he looked at the nation and thought, man, the religious, the moral, the constitutional heritage of the nation has come under such attack. Those walls have been torn down. And he really felt kind of the call of Nehemiah. Let's go rebuild the walls of this nation, the religious, the moral, the constitutional heritage that's come under attack. And so that's where the name Wall Builders comes from. It's kind of this Bible thought and challenge of let's rebuild the walls of our nation, but from much more of a spiritual or constitutional perspective. So not really the southern border per se.
Right.
More of the moral fiber of the nation.
And forever, it's also a call to arms to not just give up and say it can't be done, but for if all of us would join together and do our part, we could see great change rapidly here.
Well, and that's it, because this was, the Bible story of Nehemiah. People thought, that's impossible. You can't rebuild that nation. You can't rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But strategically, he said, okay, I want everybody to come just live in the city, and then everybody just start doing what you can, even if it's just your own backyard, everybody do what you can. And what we look at the nation and go, you know what, if every Christian, if every church, if every pastor said, let me just take care of my community, if all of a sudden every church only took care of their community, well, every community in the nation is now being taken care of.
Absolutely.
And what people view to be an impossible task could be done in record time if we only just took care of what's around us. So often we look at the national level, and it's almost paralyzing, because we go, you know what, I can't change Donald Trump. I can't change Nancy Pelosi. I can't change the Senate or the House. Like, I can't fix these problems. But if instead of looking at the national issue, if we just took care of our own backyard, if everybody took care of their backyard, then every backyard is taken care of, and that's the nation, and we've solved the problem.
And we would be growing up leaders that would allow us to take our place and see those changes. That was the thing that you really impressed upon me. Now, one of the places that we've kind of given up ground in our nation, it seems, is in the educational system, and then and actually in the media, because both the media and some of the educational systems are trying to portray what I learned from you was a false narrative about our founding fathers. And can you speak to that? What is it that we're not hearing today about the founding of our nation, both through the media and the educational system, that we need to know and remember?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. There's so much that we have forgotten and lost and is not being taught anymore. And it's worth noting that generally in life, you deal with two kinds of people. You deal with people that are either ignorant because they just don't know, or they're intentional, and they actually, they know they're misleading you, but it's because they're promoting an agenda. They care more that you believe what they want you to believe than actually what's true. And most people, you know, when you look at education, most people that are giving bad information in, you know, let's say a public school setting, maybe even in universities, most of them, it's not their hearts are bad. They just have bad information. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to the founding fathers, you know, so often we hear, well, those guys were atheists or they were agnostics. They were deists. They really didn't believe in God. They believed in a separation of church and state, where we think you shouldn't have religion in schools. You shouldn't have religion in business or in public or, you know, in government settings. You should, because they didn't want religion. We hear that right. message a lot, and that really is an inaccurate message. If you go back to just the 56 signers of the Declaration, 29 of the guys that signed the Declaration actually had graduated from Bible colleges or seminaries.
Wow.
Which is not the typical behavior for atheists and agnostics and deists.
Right. Right.
I don't know many atheists that want to better their understanding of the Bible and go to Bible college. Like that's not generally how that works. But right. because we don't know who they are, we don't recognize how little we know. One of the things, actually, this summer, I'm working with young people all summer long. And so I work with high school students and college students, and I do different camps. And so one of the things I love to do is show a picture of the 56 signers of the Declaration. And I say, okay, how many of these 56 signers can you name? And I actually pull out a $10 Chick-fil-A gift card. And I say, if you can name five of these guys in the picture, you can have this gift card. I've had the same gift card for more than 4 years.
Wow.
Because I've never found a college student or high school student who could name five signers of the Declaration. And this is the point I make to them, right? How can we think we know who they were and what they actually believed when we don't even know who they are? Like, we don't even know the names of the people there. And so we'll start going through people. You know, John Hancock is a name that most Americans recognize, but they have no idea who he was, what he believed, his story. John Hancock was the first governor of Massachusetts after we separated from Great Britain. He actually had 22 prayer proclamations as governor.
Wow.
Now, people often know, like, his big signature. They didn't know he was a Christian, or that he would call people to pray and believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is his terminology.
Wow.
You know, people just have no idea. And so sometimes one of the challenges we see in education is you want to simplify the message for people to understand, but sometimes we oversimplify it and we lose a lot of details. And it does matter, right? Who is simplifying the message?
Yes.
Because if they think it's not important for you to know that they were Christian, well, then let's just cut that out, because that would take time. And so let's just simplify it down to, you know, there were 56 guys behind the Declaration.
Right.
It matters who simplifies the message and what they thought was important, or in many cases, not important. And this is where we just don't know anymore, right? We don't know. The end of the Declaration, they said, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honors. Well, they said, we're going to give everything we have for the cause of liberty. We don't know the price that was paid. Hmm. That nine of them actually lost their lives before that we ever won our independence. Two of them were wounded in the Revolution. Five wow. of them were prisoners of war. Three of them lost their wives. 17 of them lost their homes, their estates, their fortunes. Five of them actually went into major debt supporting the Revolution. Actually, there were times when we didn't have money, and so individual founding fathers funded their state's militia, funded
wow.
for a time of the Revolution. And they actually, some of them ended up in debtor's prison because they took out loans and they could not repay it. They were put in prison because they were not repaid for the money they gave for us to win the Revolution. Two of them lost their kids in the Revolution. Like, these were wow. guys who gave everything for freedom because they believed in what they wrote in the Declaration, that we had God-given inalienable rights, and government's job was to protect those rights, and Great Britain, the king, wasn't protecting our freedom of speech or the freedom of religion or the right of private property or self-defense. And so they were willing to stand up for what they believed, and they paid everything so we could enjoy freedom today.
These were men that stood by what they believed. They weren't like a lot of times people say about politicians today, because sometimes we view history in light of where we are today, and people say, well, politicians, right, they don't ever mean what they say. But these men, they meant what they said and put everything on the line. That's what I'm hearing from you.
They did. In fact, one of my favorite quotes regarding that was from John Adams. And he wrote that posterity, you will never know how much it costs the present generation to preserve your freedom. He said, I hope you make good use of it. If you do not, I shall repent in heaven that I ever took half the pains to preserve it for you.
Wow.
Wow. Which is an amazing thought, right? Like, guys, you don't realize how much we paid. And if you don't do good with freedom, I'm going to repent to God that I worked so hard for you to be free. That's an amazing thought.
It just amazes me that they were not trying to be politically expedient. It wasn't just that they wanted their own thing. It's that they had belief in the rights that they believed that God had gave them, and that they were willing to give it all on behalf of the nation. It wasn't talk. It wasn't just empty words. They were actually people of, whether you agreed with them or not, they were people of integrity. They were people of honor, willing to fight and die for what they believed.
They were. And, you know, one of the things that we mess up in telling history is we try to, again, oversimplifying things. We just want to tell a generalized story. And so sometimes we overgeneralize. And you can, generalizations, you can fall on the good side or the bad side, right? Mm-hmm. I don't mean to overgeneralize the founding fathers and say all of them were amazing, God-fearing, Jesus-loving Christian men.
Right.
No, there were some who didn't love Jesus.
Right.
Right. There were some who weren't great. But this is, I think, one of the flaws when we study history is we forget where the starting place should be. Anytime I look at the founding fathers, my starting place is what Paul wrote actually in Romans, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Excellent point.
But I don't feel like I need to convince to you, or I shouldn't have to, that George Washington was not a perfect man, and he actually did sin in his life, right? There were moments when you're like, nope, George, that was wrong. You shouldn't have done that.
Right.
But I don't feel like I probably should have to highlight that, because my starting place is every one of us is a sinner who needs a Savior.
That...
So it's not surprising to me that a founding father wasn't perfect. It's more impressive to see how God uses imperfect people to do amazing things.
That is an excellent point. And folks, I strongly encourage you to go to wallbuilders.com and find out about the history of this nation. They've got some great product on there you should avail yourself of. And I know for us at Curdo and Ministries, one of the things we're going to be doing in the coming year, as soon as this fiscal year ends, is that we're going to be supporting Wall Builders on a monthly basis, because we believe in what they're doing, and we strongly encourage you to do the same. And you can go to KurtOwen.com if you need some more information about them, if you want to re-listen to this. But I want to thank Tim for being here today, and we are so grateful for this nation, and we're grateful to the Lord for what he's done through imperfect people, but that we have a place that we can call upon his name with a pure heart. And Tim, thank you for being here today. It is such a blessing, and we wish you great success, and we hope we can do this again soon.
Absolutely a pleasure, and I would love to do it again.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Wow, that was great information. We encourage you to go to wallbuilders.com and learn more about the truth of God's involvement in the foundation of our country. Also, tune in again tomorrow at the normal broadcast time for a continuation of our ongoing program, How to Hear from God Accurately with Curt Owen.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler Pro Rodeo and Horseman headquarters. They also have a boot department with Ariat, Double H, Carolina, Justin, Rocky Durango, Danbo.